first scripture reading today is from John, verses 1 through 18, and it's called The Resurrection. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, breathlessly panting. They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they put him. Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Simon Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and the kerchief used to cover his face, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the feet of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." And Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. Jesus said, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, "I saw the Master," and she told them everything that she had seen.
Hey, welcome. Psalm 118, verses 14 through 24. God's my strength. He's also my song, and now he's my salvation. Hear the shouts. Hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. I didn't die. I lived. And now I'm telling the world what God did. God tested me. He pushed me hard. But he didn't hand me over to death. Swing wide the city gates, the righteous gates. I'll walk right through and thank God. The temple gate belongs to God, so the victors can enter and praise. Thank you for responding to me. You've truly become my salvation. The stone the masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Here ends our scripture reading. Brother, sister in Christ, the message of Easter is not an easy one. Not always easy to fully understand. And let me tell you that since the first Easter, grown-ups have discussed and debated the significance of the resurrection mentioned in Scripture. Now, for us as adults, we have to think deep, sometimes pray for a long time, do some research. But when it comes to younger children, let me tell you that we do confuse them a bit sometimes. And with all the traditional doings of Easter, you know, we now have Easter eggs and we have all sorts of trimmings, and the commercial world is helping us a lot. Are they? Traditional doings of Easter. So I love to tell the gem of a story about a group of 5-year-olds in a Sunday school class. And as you could expect, the teacher asked them, "Now, does anyone know what today is, what it means?" One little girl stood up and she said, "Today is Easter Sunday because Jesus rose from the grave." And the teacher exclaimed, "That's fantastic. You're right. That's wonderful." But the little girl wasn't to be stopped. She had more to say. She said, "But if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 7 more weeks." Easter tells us that the long night has ended, that daylight has broken, tells us that the pain and suffering is over, death and destruction is no more. Easter is a celebration of new life and new beginnings in Christ. Now, foremost in our minds today, obviously, are the biblical accounts of the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does it say to us? On the first Easter, the joyful alleluias, the life songs of a forgiven and resurrected people, were born. And they replaced the hateful cries of "crucify, get rid of, crucify." The death-dealing cross on which Jesus suffered became a tree of life-bearing fruits of forgiveness. The previously sealed tomb has become a symbol of liberation. Today is a very good day to worship with joy and to give glory to God. It is a very good day indeed. It's also a good time for us as Christians to witness, to think, or to talk about death and life after death. And if anybody tells you exactly about life after death, let me tell you, he or she is lying. They do not know. One thing is for sure, that all Christianity agrees on the eternal nature of the life and the message of Jesus Christ. However, the mystery of life and death and life after death remains a closed book to this very day. Martin Luther, the great Protestant church reformer, explained our not knowing about the details of an afterlife with a particularly appropriate analogy. Listen what Martin Luther said. He said, "We can know as much about life beyond death as an unborn baby traveling down the birth canal and about to be born can know about the world it is about to enter." Can I say that again, what Martin Luther said? "We can know as much about life beyond death as an unborn baby traveling down the birth canal and about to be born can know about the world it is about to enter." Now, how much does that fetus know? Nothing. Yet Luther's comparison affirms his belief and many of ours that there is something at the end of the journey. And in the midst of all the uncertainty, we can be confident of one thing and one thing only. And that is then when you die and when I die, we do not die into nothingness. We die into God. However, already in this life, we can begin to understand what true salvation really means. At the center of our discovery of salvation is a defined relationship with God in the present. God's gifts in and through Jesus Christ are freedom, joy, peace and love, always, always leading us to compassion and to justice, to a sense of justice, what God wants us to do in this wicked and untruthful world that you and I are living in. God is real. God is very real to many of us gathered here this morning. In the past weeks and months, we've seen people coming forward from all walks of our congregation, talking freely about God. No superstition there. Talking about the reality of the God, of God, and the fact that we discover more and more in ourselves that when we quieten down with all our wisdom and our so-called know-how about these things, then it's time to listen deep, deep inside. And so many of us have discovered deep inside that God is real, God is there, God is active, and God is still speaking. Christian message is to enter into a relationship that leads us to healing and wholeness also on this side of the grave. It is about a relationship which transforms us by healing the wounds of our existence and transforming our lives in the here and now, transforming us into a life with God. It's not easy to come to grips with the concept of a risen Christ. The Bible describes several incidents of how difficult it was even long ago, 2,000 years ago. And many in our time will tell you that it is still not easy to come to grips with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think of the Bible stories. First of all, we run head on into a doubting Thomas and say, show me, or I will never believe. And thereafter we meet the walkers to Emmaus, uncertain, heard the stories, were in Jerusalem, they now gone away, going back to Emmaus. What really happened? And it was, says the Bible, when they broke the bread, like the body of Jesus Christ was broken and predicted by him, in the process of breaking the bread, they recognized Jesus. We heard it in Scripture this morning, the weeping Mary by the graveside of Jesus. Unexpectedly, says the Bible, heard her name called. And it was a familiar voice for Mary. Mary? And then, says the Bible, reality broke through. Then she understood. Only then she understood. Only then she knew. And then she cried out, Rabboni, or as we would say in the original language, Rabboni, Rabboni, teacher. And Mary would never, ever doubt again. And the very message of Easter resound in the greeting so familiar to all of us of Jesus, saying to you and to me even now, peace be unto you. And through the echoes of time, we still hear the cry, even this morning, in this changed environment, peace, peace be unto you. Will you allow me one very personal question? Is there someone here this morning who has not yet experienced anything of the peace that only Christ can offer? And then comes the invitation of Easter. Come on out. Come on out into the sunlight. Let His love flood your heart and your soul this very day. And that's why we, as Christians, sing, because He lives, I can walk into the future. Because I no longer fear. Because I have discovered the Lord of my life has purpose, and my life has new meaning. Because He lives, our weeping can end, and our sunset of despair can be turned into a sunrise of new hope. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life, your life and mine, is worth the living. Just because He lives. Amen.